朋友，你在收听的是活在耶稣里网站提供的福乐人生讲坛。今天的讲员是李秀全牧师。愿神的话语滋润你的心田，使你能更好地认识神和认识自己，并坚定地信靠神。
在我讲道的时候，最感觉有挑战性的是什么时候呢？
What is the most challenging time that I feel when I'm giving a sermon?
就是当我讲道的时候，我家里面的人在下面听，这是我最有挑战性的时候。
I feel most challenged when my family members are listening, to my giving a sermon.
今天是一个很有挑战性的一个主日。
And this Sunday is a very challenging Sunday.
因为我在这里讲到我的太太李师母坐在下面。
And because while I'm giving a sermon, my wife, pastor wife, Mrs. Lee is sitting down there.
She said my wife. 还有我的儿子也在这里 ，so don't feel, you know, just say my son.
Okay.
我的儿子也在这里。
My son is down there as well.
还有我妹妹全家从 Toronto 赶到这里来参加这个聚会。
As well as my younger sister who has arrived here from Toronto.
特别感谢主的，在我们家老当益壮的90高龄的我的父亲，今天也在我们中间。
And particularly my father, who is in his 90s, has come here as well.
这个挑战性很有压迫感。
This particular challenge is particularly compelling.
为什么我觉得有挑战性
？And why do I feel challenged?
因为只有你家里面的人知道，站在台上所讲的那个人。真还是不真
？Because only your family member knows that how true your sermon is.
也许家里面的人不一定会分辨讲道的人讲的对还是不对。
Perhaps your family members do not know how true this sermon is.
但是他们一定知道讲道讲的真还是不真。
But they will know whether the sermon is.For real or not for real.
我们不可否认，我们晓得家是一个教练场。
It is an accepted fact that family is a test ground.
我们在家里面学好了，我们才拿到外面去用。
Once we learn a particular action well, then we bring it to outside.
家是一个实验室。
Family is also a laboratory.
我们试对了，我们才敢拿到外面去用。
Once we have tested something successfully, then we bring out to the outside.
所以教会多年来一直强调家的重要性。
That's why for many years, church has been emphasizing how important a family is.
我们也再三地强调提摩太前书3:5的重要性。
And that is also why we keep on emphasizing Timothy 3:5.
人若不知道怎么样管理自己的家，焉能照管神的教会呢？
Where it says, if a man does not know how to manage his own family, how can he net then manage a church?
我们在家里面不能好好的经历神在我们身上的恩典，我们怎么敢在教会、在社会里面成为恩典的导管呢？
If we do not know how to experience fully God's love in our family, how can we be then?A conduit of God's love in the society.
最近几个月来，我们在教会常常在探讨一个问题。
In recent years, we have been exploring this question in church.
就是我们移民的这一代和新生的下一代，怎么样能够同心的建立一个双文化的教会
？It's the question of establishing a bicultural environment between those who have immigrated here and those who have grown up here.
神把我们放在同一个教会的里面。
God has put us into the same church.
我们有相同的目标。
We have the same goals.
我们有相同的意向
We have the same vision
但是我们不可否认的我们有不同的背景不同的个性不同许许多多不同的东西
Yet it's undeniable that we have different backgrounds different
很多 differences
many differences
那么怎么样把这些 differences 能够调整配合在一起，这是一个很重要的一个课题，对我们教会来说。
It then becomes a very important lesson on how to manage these differences into a whole.
我常常说，基督徒就是小基督的意思。
I often said that Christians are many Christs.
那么耶稣基督在我们这些基督徒的身上彰显他自己的形象。
We are many Christs in that God demonstrates His own image through us.
那么如果基督徒是小基督的话，那么基督徒的家庭应该就是一个小教会。
If Christians are many Christs, then consequently, families are many churches.
所以如果我们今天以基督化家庭自称，那我们就应该让家庭教会化。
If our families are known to be of Christian families, then our churches should also be of Christ.
所以教会过去二十几年来一直强调一个真理，就是从家做起。
So that's why the church in the past 20 years has emphasized from the beginning the family.
这一个礼拜，神一直把路德记的信息放在我的心里面。
God has been placing the vision in the book of Ruth in my heart for the past week.
在路德记里面记载一个家庭的故事。
In the book of Ruth, it is recorded a story of a family.
这个家庭影响以色列人的历史。
A family that affected the entire history of the Israel.
这个家庭也影响整个人类的历史。
A family that has also influenced the history of mankind.
因为波阿斯和路德是大卫王的曾祖父母。
Since Boaz and Ruth are the great grandparents of King David.
所以换句话说，因为波阿斯和路德的结合，而让大卫王在他们的家里面生出来，成为以色列国的一个很大很大的一个影响。
So in other words, King David became a great influence because of the union between Boaz and Ruth.
而且我们也看见在马太福音第一章，耶稣基督的家谱里面，波阿斯和路德并列其名在当中。
Further, we see that in the genealogy list in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, that King David, along with Boaz and Ruth, was listed in the genealogy of Christ.
那么教员连牧师在写这个路德记的注释《爱的跟随》里面，对这个家庭有个特别的一个形容。
Pastor Stephen Chu, in his book, Story of Ruth, gave a particular interpretation to the story.
那么他那本书叫《爱的跟随》
The title of the book is called The Journey of Love.
那么在这本书里面呢，他特别提到波阿斯和路德的这个家庭，把它称为沙漠中的绿洲。
In this book, Pastor Chu described Boaz and Ruth's family as an oasis in a desert.
因为他们所处的那个环境不是一个大同世界的环境，不是一个乌托邦的一个环境。
Because their environment was not one of utopia.
在一个很邪恶污染的一个世界里面，我们看见波阿斯这个家是一片净土。
And because of the corrupt society in which they lived, we can see that the family of Boaz was a very peaceful and a holy ground.
路德记只有四章。
The book of Ruth only comprised of four chapters.
那么里面提到男女的爱怎么样发展到夫妻的爱。
It described how love between a man and a woman developed into the love between a husband and wife.
我们今天没有时间讲这一方面。
We have no time for that today.
其实如果有机会讲路德记，我们可以从两个角度来看路德记。
In fact, if we are going to depth in book of Ruth, we'll discover two aspects in which we can develop.
一个呢，就是看男女相爱的很非常非常稀奇、非常温暖、非常奇妙的一段的关系。
One aspect of discussion would be to look at the love between a man and a woman, how wonderful and how warm it is.
我们都知道，在路德记里面提到另外一种人际的关系，就是婆媳之间的关系。
But we also see in the book of Ruth a description of another kind of love, a relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law.
Naomi 跟路德两个人相敬相爱的这种描写，在整本路德记里面，真是我们用中国话说，真是能够入木三分。
The description here, born in here in the book of Ruth, between Naomi and Ruth, it is indeed a portrait filled with life.
Naomi 和路德代表两代和两种文化的关系。
Naomi and Ruth represents two different generations and two different cultures.
虽然这个故事离开我们今天有3500年之久，
although 3,500 years separate us and the story,
但是我们从双文化和两代问题的处理， 对我们今天在北美的华人教会来说，里面有许多参考的价值。
But we can all learn from the solutions to problems arising from intercultural and different backgrounds.
我们发现拿俄米跟路德的关系那么好，绝对不是单方面的努力，是他们双方面都有的努力。
We can see that the relationship between Naomi and Ruth was not due to one side struggle, but rather it was due to both sides' effort.
我们可以从这个路德记里面看见许许多多拿俄米的见证，看到许许多多路德的见证。
From this book, we can see a lot of testimonies of Naomi as well as Ruth.
但是我想今天早上只从他们一方面。拿俄米的一方面，路德的一方面，对我们作为一些参考。
But this morning I'd rather discuss one aspect from Naomi and one aspect from Ruth as a reference for us all.
那么我们看看他们名字，从他们的名字，我们来看他们对我们的一些帮助。
Their names.
那么拿俄米的意思是什么呢
？What does the word Naomi mean?
刚才我们是从第八节读到十八节。
Just now we have read verses 8 to 18.
好不好请各位翻到路德记第一章。
Let's all turn to Ruth 1.
我们从二十节把它读到二十一节。
Let's read from verse 20 to verse 21.
好，路德记第一章二十节二十一节。我们请 Simon 替我们念一下这两节圣经。English.
Verse 20.Do not call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me.
请特别注意这两节的圣经。拿俄米她回到她的家乡以后，对她的乡亲说：“你们以后不要再叫我拿俄米，你们以后要叫我。”
Notice in this passage how Naomi told her neighbors shortly after she arrived back home, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara."
为什么呢？因为 Naomi 的意思就是甘甜，甜的意思；马拉的意思就是苦的意思。
Why? Because Naomi means sweet or sweetness, and Mara means bitter.
因为十年离乡背井，这个 Naomi 吃尽了许多的苦头。
Because Naomi has suffered much.During her 10 years away from home.
如果我们用中文来描写这个拿俄米这十年的生活呢，我们说这十年对拿俄米来说是福无双至，是祸不单行。
We can use a proverb describing her time during which Naomi suffered when blessings never come in pairs and disasters always come in bundles.
实在是一个祸不单行的十年。
A very terrible 10 years.
她这十年当中失去了丈夫
，in which she lost her husband.
这十年失去了她两个儿子
，in which she also lost her 2 sons.
失去丈夫的去世代表失去了依靠。
The loss of her husband meant the loss of sustenance or support.
儿子的去世代表失去了盼望。
And the losing of her sons meant losing of hope.
没有依靠，没有盼望，她还剩下什么呢？
No support, no hope. What is she left with?
她请求她的乡亲说：“从此以后，你们不要再叫我拿俄米，请你们叫我马拉。”
Which is precisely why she begged her neighbors, saying, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara."
因为拿俄米不能代表我现在的情况，
because
马拉代表我现在的情况。
Because the name Naomi cannot represent what I'm going through right now, while the name Mara.
因为我的命太苦了。
Because I had a really rough 10 years.
我们知道今天有许许多多人有这样的一个感受。
Today we know that many people are feeling the same thing.
我的命太苦。
I have a very bitter life.
但是弟兄姊妹，有一件事情非常的稀奇。
But there's one thing very interesting, brothers and sisters.
当拿俄米在第一章很诚恳地告诉他的乡亲说，以后不要叫我拿俄米，叫我马拉。
Notice how in chapter 1, she told her neighbors and asked them to call her Mara.
但是整本书以后每一次提到这个人，从来没有叫他马拉，都叫他拿俄米。
Yet in subsequent passages, at no place was Naomi called Mara, but rather she was called Mara. called again and again.
是不是这些人不尊重拿俄米的请求呢？
Does this man disrespect of the people?
不是的，因为这些人看见拿俄米身上一个见证。
No.Because these people saw the testimony in Naomi.
因为他们看见拿俄米经过了苦难，更加的甘甜。
Because they saw how Naomi became sweeter even after all the suffering.
我们看见在整个这个路德记里面，我们发现拿俄米口甜，心更甜。
Because in all the chapters, we discovered that Naomi was sweeter at the mouth, but yes, sweeter in the heart.
是的，她经过十年的痛苦。
Yes, she went through suffering.
弟兄姊妹，十年不是短暂的十天、十个礼拜、十个月。
10 years was not a very short time.
我记得我十个月在前线，这个当兵。
I remember how I went through military training for 10 months.
十个月的时间真是度日如年呢。
10 months felt like 10 centuries.
但是我们看见这个拿俄米在这里，她实实在在有十年的时间在痛苦，在这个很深很深的煎熬里面。
Yeah, we see here that Naomi underwent 10 years of pure pain and suffering.
所以她从心里面说，不要叫我拿俄米，叫我马拉。
So she said it.From her heart, when she said, "Do not call me Naomi."
但是这些人听她讲话的人
，but these people who listened to her，
那么不觉得她应该改成马拉
，did not feel the need to change her name into Mara。
知道她受了十年的苦
，knowing that she underwent 10 years of pain，
但是她活出来的确实是甘甜的见证。
Yet she lived a life of sweetness。
弟兄姊妹，我把这一个人，我把她叫做圣经里面的女约伯
，which is precisely why, brothers and sisters, I call her the woman。Job of Old Testament.
那么虽然他所受的苦不能跟约伯所受的苦来相比
，Of course, we realize that her pain and suffering cannot be compared to the suffering to those of Job.
弟兄姊妹，我们要记得一件事情：受苦永远是相对的。
Brothers and sisters, we must remember that suffering is always relative.
你所受的苦，我所受的苦，在客观的角度来看，也许有轻重的分别。
The sufferings between two people may be weighed on a scale.
也许 relatively speaking， 也许有不一样。
Maybe there are differences。
从相对的角度来看
，from relative speaking。
但是呢，从主观的角度来看
，but from a very subjective view。
我们发现每一个人所受的苦都是全世界最大的苦。
We realize that one person will feel that his suffering is the most in the world。
今天我们不需要去比苦。
We do not have to compare pain today.
只要我们是苦，我们就觉得这苦是非常大的苦。
We only have to say we're suffering, and that'll be enough.
每一个人都觉得自己背的十字架是天赐第一号的十字架。
Everyone feels that the cross that he or she is bearing is the king size in the world.
我们在许多受苦的经验里面
，in our experiences of suffering,
虽然我们不像约伯受的那种的苦。
Although we do not have the kind of pain and the suffering that Job went through,
但是受苦就是受苦，受苦是个事实。
But suffering is suffering.
那我说这个拿俄米是叫做女约伯的意思是什么呢
？So why do I call her the female Job?
因为她和约伯那个苦尽甘来的见证和经历是一样的。
Because they both became sweeter.From the suffering,
因着受苦，他们的生命经过了升华。
Through suffering, their life were transformed.
拿俄米她的一生应该这样说：甜、苦、甜。
Naomi's life can be summed up into 3 words: sweet, bitter, and sweet.
第一个甜呢，是她父母亲给她取名叫拿俄米，所以她第一个名字代表父母亲对她的盼望。
First sweet, because the name Naomi represented the hope that her parents.Held.
我们中国人跟犹太人一样
Chinese are not unlike the Jews.
跟犹太人一样
are very much alike the Jews.
那么我们跟犹太人一样，每一次这个父母亲给的名字代表父母亲对儿女的盼望。
Each time a parents would name a child, signifying the hope that these parents held.
他第一个甜代表父母亲对他的盼望。
So the first sweet represents the hope that of her parents.
但是第二个甜却代表他生命经历的苦难带来的真实的见证。
Yet the second sweet represents the testimonies rising out of the sufferings of her life.
弟兄姊妹，我们在这个讲台上一而再、再而三的强调，受苦是与我们有益的。
We emphasize and re-emphasize on this podium that suffering is good for us.
但是里面有一些特别特别的关键。
But there are some conditions.
因为一般受过苦的人大概都有两种不同的心态。
Because there are two possible reactions of the people who underwent suffering.
有一种人受过苦以后，他产生一个非常强烈的报仇或者复仇的一种心态。
One, a vengeful heart.
他那种 suffering 变成 bitterness， 一种苦难变成苦毒。
From his suffering, he developed an insufferable attitude.
虽然我受了苦，
since I underwent pain，
我就觉得这个世界是不公平的。
I felt that this world is unjust.
凭什么我受苦，他在旁边却享受？
And why should I be suffering while he is off, not suffering?
即使我受苦已经事过境迁，
even if my sufferings have gone far away from me,
但是我看见我周遭的人，我心里面有一种非常不舒服的感觉。
But whenever I see people around me suffering, I feel a very great unjust.
所以在潜意识里面，也许在意识当中他们没有发现，但是在潜意识里面有一种复仇的心态。
Perhaps they don't discover it, but in the subconscious is already planted a seed of revenge.
所以一些受过苦的人心里面非常的苦毒。
So that's why some people who have undergone suffering are very bitter.
弟兄姊妹， suffering 跟 bitterness 是不一样。
There's a difference between suffering and bitterness.
我们有没有因此产生一种更狭窄、更苦毒的一种报复的心态？
Have we developed a sort of bitter and provincial view and a heart of revenge?
弟兄姊妹，也许我们常常在这边强调，弟兄姊妹没有忘记我所说的，基督徒没有在苦难里面的免疫性。
Perhaps I should say it again. Christians do not have immunities from suffering.
我们都有程度不同的苦难。
Rather, we have different degrees of suffering.
但是我们受了苦以后的结果，受了苦以后的表现是什么样子？
But our fruits and the outcome of our suffering, what should they be?
受苦我们同情。
We should sympathize those who are suffering.
但是受苦以后产生一种苦毒的一种心态，求主怜悯我们。
But we should also pity those who develop bitterness.
弟兄姊妹，我为什么会这样分析？
Why should I analyze it this way?
因为当我自我分析的时候，我发现在我里面有这样一种隐藏的这种现象。
Because upon analyzing myself, I discover a vengeful track in me.
很多时候我不甘心我曾经受过这些苦。
Sometimes I feel unjust because of the sufferings that I went.
尤其我看到我周遭的人，凭什么他们要比我更好？
Especially when I see the people around me, by what right do they deserve to be better off?
所以我的言语，我的一举一动，我的思想，我的行动，就变成对别人的一种伤害。
So therefore, my actions, my thoughts, and my speech have become a source of harm for others.
朋友，你收听的是福乐人生讲坛的系列节目。我是玛丽姐妹，很高兴你的收听。也盼望你的来信。如果你还没有相信主耶稣，请到活在耶稣里施工网站的首页，点击永生之道，理解耶稣真理，今天就相信主耶稣，从而享受主内新生命的永生祝福。